adjust my technology here. How's that working?
All right. Good morning, everyone. Larry is not here today, and asked that, I'm not sure if he asked or if he just stared at me long enough till I volunteered. But anyway, I get to speak to you tonight. I'm pretty sure I wasn't his first choice, but I didn't ask how low I was on that list. So I come up here and I get ready this morning and I sit down and Sean looks at me and says, "You nervous?" I said, "Well, I don't think so." He said, "But all those people are staring back at you." And Debbie says, "Oh, don't worry, we're all judging you." It's like, thank you. I love you all too. I appreciate it. But it is a pleasure and an honor to be here and able to speak with you today. And I'm grateful for the opportunity. Turn, if you will. Say this. We're grateful for our visitors. We're thankful you're here. I'll tell you that I do get a little nervous staring out at you all, staring back at me. And so if I do say something you don't agree with or think is wrong, don't hesitate to say something. It's good for us to study together and see what Scripture says. And having said that, please turn in your Bible to Genesis chapter 1. Beginning in verse 1. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Then God said, 'Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters.' Thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. So the evening and the morning were the second day. Then God said, 'Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear.' And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together the waters he called seas, and God saw that it was good. Then God said, 'Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth.' And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the third day. Then God said, 'Let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth.' And it was so. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. He set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Then God said, 'Let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens.' So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves, which the waters abounded according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, 'Be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters and the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth.' So the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Then God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth, each according to its kind, and it was so. And God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind, and God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him, male and female he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, in which there is life. I have given every green herb for food, and it was so. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had done. He rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. I'm coming to believe that that may be the most important verse in the Bible. The creation story tells us who God is. It tells us who man is, the problem of sin. The first three chapters of Genesis covers all of that for us. So today I want us to look at some of the lessons that we can learn from creation. The first question I want to look at is who is God? The first thing to think about God is he's eternal. In the beginning, God created. In the beginning. That means there is a beginning point. And who was before the beginning point? God was there. Man isn't the beginning point. God is. And in our society, that's important to remember. Because in our society, we tend to put man above everything else. God is first. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Look over to Exodus 3. Exodus 3, verses 13 and 14. This is Moses at the burning bush. And then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he says, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. For all you grammar nerds out there, God is the perpetual present tense. God is forever. Whether that forever is in the past or forever in the future, he is always I am. And so the very first lesson we learn is that God is eternal. And we find out that God is all-powerful. think about how creation occurred. And God said, "Let there be light." And it was so. Think about this. You all know I love making cakes, make desserts, love to cook. But I can't just say, go be a cake, and it be a cake. I have to have stuff. I have to have stuff to make it happen. I have to have lots of stuff to make it happen. Ingredients, pots, pans, ovens, whatever else. There's lots of stuff. God doesn't need any stuff. There are no machines, there are no tools. It all comes from God. None of us can do what he can do. He creates life from himself. And that is a power we cannot comprehend. God is all powerful. We learn this from his creation. Think about this in verse 2. Again, it says, the earth was without form and void. There was nothing. In the beginning, there was God, and there was nothing. But God created something from nothing. He created it from himself, and he gave this world to us. And finally, we find, I won't say this is all, this is just my passing thoughts we go through, but we also learn that God is in three persons. It's here in the beginning if we just look. Verse 26, turn back over to that, says, then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Who is us? There is only God at this point. There is no us unless God is us. It's a plural. It's more than one. And so in verse 1 you see God created. And then in verse 2 you see something else. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. We see the Spirit. Now I realize that in most of our Bible, Spirit is capitalized. And yes, that is a commentary by those who interpret the Bible. It's not that way in anybody's original writing. But the Spirit is hovering over the face of the earth. It has a presence. It's not just, we'll say that better. It is something there. It is the Spirit of God. He has a presence there that is hovering. And so we see that. Now we won't see the Spirit's work until much later in the Bible. But he's there in the beginning. We see him there. And we also see Jesus. Turn over to John 1. John 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Look down to verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Turn over also to Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or power, all things were created through him and for him. You say, well, where do we see Jesus? And God said, let there be light. And it was so. He spoke the word. The word is spoken. We see it in the very act of creation that the word exists. And it is a part of God and within God and through God and because of God. Jesus is present at creation. The next question I want us to look at then is, why is he God? Why is it that whoever this person is should be our God? Why shouldn't we be out there worshiping some rock or pillar or something else? What makes him? And God answers that question for us very simply because he is our creator. And that's why we worship him. That is what makes him God. That's what makes us obey him. Because he created us. He made us. Isaiah prophesied to Judah in the divided kingdoms. He prophesied during the reigns of Uzziah through the reign of Hezekiah and probably into Manasseh. But Isaiah preached against and was given the word of God to talk against idolatry and what they were doing and worshiping other gods. And it's one of my favorite passages in the Bible because once in a while God is sarcastic and lets people know. If you turn over to chapter 44, in verse 16, let's go back up to verse 14. A man cuts down cedars for himself and takes the cypress and the oak. He secures it for himself among the trees of the forest. He plants a pine and the rain nourishes it. Then it shall be for a man to burn, for he will take some of it and warm himself. Yes, he kindles it and bakes bread. Indeed, he makes a god and worships it. He makes a carved image and falls down to it. He burns half of it in the fire, which with this half he eats meat. He roasts a roast and is satisfied, even warms himself and says, ah, I am warm, I have seen the fire. And the rest of it he makes into a god, his carved image. He falls down before it and worships it, prays to it and says, deliver me, for you are my God. Kind of stupid, isn't it? And that's pretty much what God's telling the people with their idolatry. Are you stupid? You make this thing and say it's your God. No, you don't worship what you make. You worship what makes you. Turn over, if you will, to Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42, verses 5 through 8. Thus says God, the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread forth the earth and that which comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it and spirits to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness, and I will hold your hand. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the Gentiles, to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the prison, those who sit in darkness from the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another, my praise nor my praise to carved image. Chapter 42 is one of the servant songs. It talks about Jesus and what he'll be like. But it is saying here, I am God, and my servant will worship me, not carved image. And I am God because I am the one who created the heavens and the earth. Look over at chapter 41. Beginning verse 17. The poor and needy seek water, but there is none. Their tongues fail for thirst. I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in desolate heights and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. I will plant in the wilderness the cedar and acacia tree, the myrtle and the oil tree. I will set in the desert the cypress tree and the pine and the box tree together, that they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord has done this, and the Holy One of Israel has created it. God has created it for us to understand who he is and what he has made, and for us to worship him. Turn over again to chapter 45 in Isaiah. Beginning in verse 5, I am the Lord and there is no other. There is no God beside me. I will gird you though you have not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun to its setting that there is none beside me. I am the Lord and there is no other. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create calamity. I, the Lord, do all these things. Rain down, you heavens from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. He's our God because he created us. And he says, I have power. And look down then in verse 17 of that same chapter. But Israel shall be saved by the Lord with an everlasting salvation. You shall not be ashamed or disgraced forever and ever. For thus says the Lord, who created the heavens? Who is God? Who formed the earth and made it? Who has established it? Who did not create it in vain? Who formed it to be inhabited? I am the Lord, and there is no other. I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I did not say to the seed of Jacob, seek me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. How do we know God keeps his promises? He told Isaiah, you know who I am and I keep my promises because I created this world. I created you. I keep my promises. I say what's right because I am that powerful. And then if you would, turn over to Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40 and verse 25. To whom then will you liken me? Or to whom shall I be equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things, who brings out their hosts by number. He calls them all by name. By the greatness of his might and by the strength of his power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. God promises what he will do for us who follow him by the fact that he created us. He is true. He is powerful, and he will do what he says. There's a flip side to that creator and his rights as creator. Turn over to Genesis 6. Genesis 6, verse 5. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness in man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. What's the old joke? Bill Cosby used to talk about his mother saying, I brought you into this world and I'll take you out. Well, you know what? That's what God says. He made us. And in Noah's day, he repented of that, it says in some of the translations. He was grieved for it, it says here. He was sorry he had done it. And just like he had the power to make the earth, he has the power to destroy the earth. And so he is God. That's who he is. He is our creator. It's who he is. Question then comes up is, who are we in relation to God? I'll tell you that part of this is a shameless plug because I'll be teaching Job fourth quarter. But the story of Job we all know. Job is a righteous man. And Satan says to God, if you just hurt him, hurt his family, take away his stuff, do everything you can to him, he'll cave. And God says to Satan, you do it, just save his life. I'm condensing things a little bit. My wife doesn't always appreciate my Reader's Digest condensed version, but. And so Satan did. He took his family, his children, he took his land, he took his cattle, he took everything, his home, took his health. And Job is left asking why. Why would you do this to me? I am a righteous man. Why? 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 Turn over to Job 38. Job 38. Beginning in verse 1. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, Who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Now prepare yourself like a man. I will question you, and you will answer me, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Surely you know. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? To what were its foundations fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. God's answer to Job. God's answer to Job is, I am the creator of this world, and you cannot understand what is in my mind and all that I have done. And he goes on. Turn over to chapter 40. Moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, shall the one who contends with the Almighty correct him? He who rebukes God, let him answer it. Then Job answered and said, behold, I am vile. What shall I answer you? I lay my hand over my mouth. Once I have spoken, but I will not answer yes twice, but I will proceed no further. Job says, I know when to shut up. And God continues to ask him those questions and says again, prepare yourself like a man, and I will question you, and you answer me. And God goes on to tell Job about the glories of creation. And then in chapter 42, then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do everything, and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. You ask, who is this who hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Listen, please, and let me speak. You said, I will question you, and you shall answer me. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore I abhor myself, and I repent in dust and ashes. Job may not have understood why these things happened to him, but he understood when God got through speaking to him who God is and who he is. He says, I've uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. You said, I will question you and you shall answer me. He did not know and could not know. And so he prostrates himself before God and says, I abhor myself and I repent of what I have done and what I have said because of God's creation, his glory, his power. We understand that we cannot compare to God and we cannot set ourselves up in the place of God to question his judgments. Let's say this. I think we can ask questions of God. I don't think we can accuse God. And I think that Job went from saying, help me understand, to saying, I don't deserve this and you don't have any right to do it. When we get to the point where we tell God what God should do, we have forgotten our place before him. And again, that's another place where our society has gone to. We live in a society where everyone around us says, I don't care what the Bible says is a sin. God can't mean that. He must mean something else. God means that for other people, not for me. God surely wants this to happen, and I will do what I want to do regardless of what Scripture says. When we tell God what he is supposed to do, we have forgotten our place in creation, and we have forgotten who God is and who we are. next question I want us to think about then is, knowing who God is and who we are, what's our response? How do we, as the created, respond to God, and what is our responsibility as the created to Him? Turn over to Psalm 148. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His hosts. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all you stars of light. Praise Him, you heavens of heavens and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded and they were created. Familiar words to most of us with the songs we sing. But what's our response? We praise Him. We owe Him praise. We owe Him honor. We owe Him glory because He has made us. Turn over to Revelation. Revelation chapter 4. Because what you find is that God is not to be praised just here on earth, but He is also praised on heaven. Because in John's vision, chapter 4, verse 10, the 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by Your will they exist and were created." We praise the One who created us. He is to be followed and obeyed. Turn over to Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes 12, beginning in verse 1. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come and the years draw near when you say, "I have no pleasure in them." Drop down to verse 6. Remember your Creator before the silver cord is loosed or the golden bowl is broken. And then down to verse 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Remember your Creator. Why do you obey Him? He is our Creator. Fear God and keep His commandments. He's to be given our gratitude. Turn over to Romans 1. Romans 1, beginning in verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in righteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. And then he goes on to give us a list of things that happened to societies and to people who forgot their Creator and forgot to be thankful to their Creator. And God gave them up to base minds. Actually, it says debased minds. And thoughts and feelings, and left them in their sins because they would not be thankful to their Creator. And finally, because God is our Creator, we should treat other people with love and respect and honesty. Turn over to Malachi chapter 2. Malachi chapter 2, beginning in verse 7. For the lips of a priest should keep knowledge, and people should seek the law from his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. But you have departed from the way. You have caused many to stumble at the law. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of hosts. Therefore I also have made you contemptible and base before all the people, because you have not kept my ways, but you have shown partiality in the law. Have we not all one Father? Has not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously with one another by profaning the covenant of the fathers? God calls us that we treat people with justice and truth and love and respect, because he created every one of us. All of us are made in his image, all of us are his, and we need to act that way towards our brothers and sisters. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 4. First Peter chapter 4 and verse 19. Therefore let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful creator. As Christians, we'll face hard times. We'll face persecutions. We will face difficulties. But that doesn't excuse us from doing good, because we're doing it to a faithful creator. God created us, and because he created all of us, we have certain ways to act with one another in love and faithfulness. Do you believe God created the heavens and the earth? Sadly, I think there are more and more people today who call themselves Christians who are unable to say yes to that answer. The answer to that question, yes. I think, especially in the greater kind of Christian people who call themselves Christians out there, more and more people look and say, well, science says that this is how the earth began. And they leave God out of it. And I have something I want to say, and I say this with all respect and love. If you cannot say, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, you're not a Christian. You're denying God and what he has done and his power and his authority. It's who God is. And we need to remember that. And I believe God created the world in 7 days, and I think they were actually 7 days. And I don't believe it in spite of science, I believe it because of science. Because you know what science tells us? You cannot create something from nothing. And that's what evolution is. Evolution says there was nothing, and all of a sudden there was something. God created it of himself. That's what makes sense scientifically. God, it came from something. It came from God. And again, I will say this. I have a quote I want to read to you, and I will tell you that I this quote makes me angry every time I hear it, but I want you all to hear it. It says, most truth in Scripture is told in symbols, parables, myths, and allegories. I went online to find this quote because I wanted to make the exact quote. There was a Facebook article that the title of it was something like this quote, but where I found the quote was on a sermon. Somebody had written a sermon, and it was online, and this was on one of their slides. This was a sermon from some pulpit someplace. And where they start with their myths and allegories is with creation. Well, that couldn't happen that way. You know, God didn't do that. It must be just an allegory. There's a spiritual truth to be told. And so they take all these ways to tell us how it couldn't have been created in 7 days the way God says it was created. And then they never get to the great spiritual truth that they think is being told there. Somehow that all gets forgotten. The only great spiritual truth is that God speaks to us in myths and allegories. And I want to say to people here is if you have heard this said to you and you think about it, think about this. If you call the Bible a myth, you're equating it with Greek mythology, you're equating it with Norse mythology, you're creating it with whatever idol worshiper has ever been in ancient times. And you need to be very careful for your soul when you do that. Unfortunately, this type of idea is creeping in even to people and churches we think of as sound sometimes. Larry and I were discussing this the other night. And once you go down the way that this is an allegory, once this is a metaphor, then people say, you know, Adam and Eve weren't real either. That's also part of the creation story. They begin to say Satan isn't real. So my question then gets to them, well, did Jesus really rise from the dead, or is that an allegory too? We have to be very careful where we try and let our thoughts take us and our philosophies take us, because they will take us in places that are not good for us. So for the safety of my soul, I choose to believe that the earth was created by God and that he did it in the 7 days that he said he did it. Because it's a short step from saying God did not create this world in 7 days to saying God doesn't have the power to make it in 7 days. I told you that I'm coming to think that Genesis 1:1 is the most important verse in the Bible, and Debbie tells me I'm wrong. She says the most important verse in the Bible is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Well, I think they're the two sides of the same coin. You start with God's power and righteousness and might, and you move to how God has chosen to save us because we are sinful. And so he gave his Son to die for us. And we've come to a point in this sermon where you have an opportunity, if you are not a Christian, to step forward and say, I believe that God created this world, and I believe that his Son came forth and gave his life to redeem me from my sins. And you have a chance, to having repented of your sins and confessed your belief, to be baptized. And if you are a Christian and you need to come forward and say, I need your help, I need your prayers, I need help with anything that's happening in my life, Please take this opportunity now as we stand and sing.